I would like to start by reading one verse from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. And I'm going to add 5 other verses during this address to complete my impression for this occasion. Ephesians, chapter 2, page 1411. Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 8. For ye are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is God's gift. My impression, dear brethren, for this occasion is to present God as a giver. God is a giver, and he loves to give. He reveals himself through giving. What we find in this verse, in Ephesians 2, verse 8, is that even the faith is a gift of God. Even the faith. And I would like, and what is on my heart, to show you 5 different ways we can experience God as a giver, before we come back to this verse again. The first way we can see God and experience him as a giver, we find in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him may not perish, but have life eternal. Amazing that God's giving goes so far that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. His only Son. He could not have given more. There is no proof needed for God that he loves you and me, that he loves the world, because he gave everything he could give by giving his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To make that clear, I love to go to Genesis 22 and to see how Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, the son he had to wait for many, many years. The son he must have loved more than anything in his entire life. Because Isaac was truly given by God. And Abraham was ready to obey God, to kill his only son, to kill. And when you read Genesis 22, you get a sense of how much pain is in there, how much pain lies in there to give away a precious life that you love. But God was willing to give his only begotten Son for you and for me. More than that, he commends his love to us. We being still sinners, Christ has died for us. He commends his love to us. There is no other proof needed that he loves us. He loves you and me. Because Christ died for us while we were sinners. God didn't want us to change before giving his son. By the way, we wouldn't have been able to change. But God gave his son while we were sinners. What a great love. What a great love. And God so loved the world I like to see God in this perfect worldwide love, while we see at the Lord Jesus that he loved the assembly and gave his life. But God so loved the world, a love that is beyond our imagination and definitely beyond my ability to express it, even if English was my native language. To express this love is something we are not capable of. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's amazing that this gift, his Son, being the greatest gift he could give, is the assurance for us to believe what Paul said, that God, who has not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he shall with him grant us all things. All things. The giving of the Lord Jesus is the greatest gift, and therefore all other things God is able to give, he grants us. What a God we have to do with. What a great God. Great of love, great of the wish, of the ability to give to his creature everything we are not able to imagine. The second way we are able to experience God-giving, we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verses 5 and 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For God is one, and the mediator of God and men, one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. God gave his Son, but Jesus gave himself. He gave himself. Do you feel the need to get more into it? What it means that Jesus gave himself? In his life, he expressed the full will of God. And that will led him to the cross and into the grave. What a sacrifice, and what a love that Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. So he became the mediator, the one and only mediator. There is no one like him, no mediator between God and man, but the man Christ Jesus. He gave himself for all. Jesus said, and this is what always touches me, on this account, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Wonderful to see God the Father and the Lord Jesus fully agree in everything. Therefore the Father loves me because I lay down my life. It's amazing that we do not only see the love of Christ in what he did and laying down his life, but we immediately see the connection he gives to us to the Father, and how the Father loves the Son. Wonderful expressions when Jesus says that the Father loves him, and why he does. The Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. And that he fulfilled God's will completely is, for example, told by himself in John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 39. There the Lord Jesus says, and this is the will of him that has sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. Not only that God has given his Son, not only that Jesus gave his life, but we see because of the fact that Jesus did the will of the Father, he could say, there are those who the Father gave me. Remember, your life, your soul, so precious to God that he gave it to the Lord Jesus, to his only begotten Son. Isn't it worthy to give your life to Jesus? He gave his life for you. And he takes care of you. He takes care of your soul. Jesus gave his life for us. He gave himself for us, even as the Christ also loved the assembly. He loved the assembly and has delivered himself up to it. I like that the love here gets much more personal. God loved the world. It's a huge, huge revelation. But that Christ loved the assembly and has delivered himself up to it is much more personal. And you see that he has a vessel to which he want to give all his love. This vessel is for him. For him, because he laid down his life for this assembly. For this assembly. So we have God giving his only begotten Son. We have the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself. And now I want to go to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verses 27 and 28. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand. I give them life eternal. Life eternal. In Ecclesiastes, hope it was the right pronunciation, 3 verse 11, there is a very remarkable verse. It says there, he hath set the world, or in the footnote, the age, in the heart of men. And in the German Bible translation, it says, he hath set the world, he has set the eternity in the heart of men. The eternity. And I always felt that every man, every soul, has something within that longs for eternity, that longs for something man cannot provide. There is a longing, otherwise the world would not go like it went the last hundreds and thousands of years. Man has no rest. Because inside there is this longing after something. And finally, when you find Jesus, you realize that it was this eternal gift, the gift of eternal life of the Lord Jesus, that your heart, your inner soul, was always looking for. How wonderful that the Lord revealed, I give them eternal life. And eternal life, like the Lord also says, is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. I love to see that all these verses where it is told to us what God gave come together. They are all working together. Without God giving his son, the man Christ Jesus wouldn't have given his life. Without Christ Jesus giving his life, there would be no way to receive eternal life for us. So everything comes together, and it's the wonderful way God sent his son to do his will. What is also found here in these verses is that salvation is eternal. And I really want to point that out. I want you to be clear that if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus, if you have repented your sins, if you received salvation, there is nothing that can separate you from God's love. The work on the cross is so great that there is no way that you shall perish. No way. And everything else, every message, I am convinced, every message that puts this fear into your heart that you can lose your salvation once you received it is an attack to the cross. An attack to the cross. And I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me, again this wonderful thought that the Father has given the sheep to Christ, the Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. Be sure about your salvation, and then receive the greatest joy, because you can never lose it again. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. That you might be saved forever, for time and for eternity. Salvation is eternal. So, God gave his Son. The man Christ Jesus gave himself. Jesus gives life eternal. And then we go on to John's Gospel 14, and I read verse 27. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27. I leave peace with you. I give my peace to you. Not as the world giveth, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it fear. I give my peace to you, he says to his disciples, short before he would go to the cross and suffer and die. I give peace to you. I like us all to be encouraged, because that was what the Lord did to his own. He encouraged them. Look how chapter 14 begins. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. What may come in this world is in my hands. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't drift away because of sorrows, pain, tribulation, difficulties. Don't drift away. I give my peace to you. And not a peace you receive in this world. Not a peace that the world calls peace. But a divine and heavenly peace I can give to you, because I'm going to finish that work that will give you eternal salvation and give you rest and peace with God. A peace beyond imagining, beyond understanding. What a peace. A peace, but not only a peace of salvation, a peace of a constant relationship with a living Savior. As we found out and spoke about in the reading, the grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. And he raised from among the dead. And he is with you every day of your life. And he gives peace to you. I love to see that the Lord, what is on his mind for his disciples when he was alone with them before he went to be crucified, before he gave his life. Isn't it wonderful that he is full of encouragement? He knew what was going to happen. He knew it all. And he was full of encouragement for his disciples. As you can see, in the last verse of chapter 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world." What a Savior. And I think when he says, "I have overcome the world," we should think of his victory. We should think of the Lord Jesus conquering death. This great power to bring us freedom and liberty and peace. What a great man. What a power he has to conquer death. The death that we face because of sin. But he bore our sin on that cross. And he didn't remain in the grave. Think of David facing Goliath. The people of Israel, these great army people, were afraid because of this huge man named Goliath. And David came just with the stones and a huge trust in God, in the living God. Huge trust. He defeated Goliath. He killed him. He cut his head off with Goliath's sword. He defeated death by going into death. No one else is able to do this. No one else. He defeated. He conquered. He is victorious. And so he could say to his own, he could say, "I have overcome the world." There is nothing that can come beside us and the love of God anymore, because of Jesus giving his life and conquering and being victorious. And therefore he is able to give us peace. Peace over all things. A peace that goes so deep in your heart, in your soul, that it is a proof of the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He answers faith by revealing himself to you and giving you this wonderful peace. It's very practical, very practical. On the one hand, but on the other hand, he did everything that was needed to make peace between you and God. Wonderful. You can lay your whole life upon Jesus because he did everything. Nothing left to do. Nothing left. Just to believe. To believe that he did it for you. And he is willing to give you peace. Not like the world. Remember that. Not like the world I give to you. I wish everyone to get a fresh sense of this giving, this peace that comes from him and not from the world. Mm. So, God gave his son. The man Christ Jesus gave himself. Then we had Jesus gives life eternal. He gives peace to you. And now I want to look with you on James chapter 1 and verse 5. The last of the five experiences I want to bring to you of the giving of God. James chapter 1 and verse 5. But if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all freely and reproaches not, and it shall be given to him. I love the expression of God that he is a God who gives freely. He gives freely. Sometimes we might think that we have to ask and ask over and over again, and maybe he doesn't hear us. Maybe he's too far away. But I want to encourage you, even in times of maybe doubt, believe that God gives freely. And here we have the gift of wisdom. If you feel a lack of wisdom, ask God and he gives freely. He chose the weak ones and not the strong ones. He chose those who need help. So he's giving you wisdom when you feel the lack, when you feel the need. Sometimes I think it must be that way, that we come into circumstances feeling our weaknesses. Because otherwise, there would be this great danger that we would honor ourselves for getting a conclusion or getting things done or managing something. But God wants us to come in a position where we feel the need of his help, so that after he helped us in a way that is, by the way, always different to what we think, we can give him honor and praise and worship. God is good. If you feel the need, just ask him. In a way, James chapter 1 is full of God telling you, come to me and I give you what is needed. See, for example, verses 16 and 17. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation nor shadow of turning. According to his own will, beget he has by the word of truth, that we should be a certain first fruits of his creatures. He is the Father of lights. And every perfect and every good gift comes from him. Be encouraged. Be encouraged to seek his presence. Be encouraged to seek just a glimpse of his glory, to be touched by what he is able and willing to give. God is good. God is good. He is just. And therefore Jesus had to die for our sin. He is holy. Therefore this work on the cross had to be accomplished, had to be finished. But he is good. He is good and he wants to show his goodness to you in your personal life and circumstances. The Father of lights. How great. These five passages also show that the journey doesn't end when you start to believe. It's about to start a never-ending journey with a loving God and Father. I feel this truth to be more present in my life, because we often forget. But he is the Father of lights, and he wants to make his living world alive to us. Nothing more and nothing less. He is a God who loves to reveal himself, and therefore we can see him as a giver that loves to give. to each one of us. So I want to go back to finish to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Because I don't want to bring to you this message of giving without preaching with the help of the Spirit the pure gospel. The pure gospel. So easy message. The pure gospel. We are lost. We are lost in our sins. Death is a result of sin. Of disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden, eating just that one fruit God forbid to eat. Sin came in because of disobedience of man, and death came in. The best proof of the gospel that we're going to die one day, sooner or later. Death came in because of sin. And God is holy and just, and we are not able to enter His presence. We are not able to see Him because He's invisible. We are not able to please Him because of sin. Because of sin. We would have been lost for all time and eternity if Jesus didn't come. The only man without sin. No sin in Him. No sinful word came out of His mouth. The only one God could say, "This is my beloved in whom I have found my delight." The only one, because He was from God. God with us. God with us. Imagine. He was man and God in one person. Real man and real God. And He gave Himself, He offered Him His life as a sacrifice to please God according to the sin of this world. And whosoever believeth that Jesus died on his behalf, if you believe that He bore your sin on the cross, that He paid for your sins, if you believe that, you will be saved. You will be saved. Just believe. Remember how the Lord went through the cities in Israel, in the land of Judea, and so on, wherever He was. He said, "You're saved because of your faith. You're saved because you believed. Just believe. Just believe, and you will be saved." Now you might ask, well, when even faith is a gift of God, how is it in my responsibility? I want to encourage you. It is normal that questions raises that are controversial. It is really normal. But don't be discouraged. You know, God knows your heart. This is what I want to say to you. God knows your heart. And if you really believe, if there is a desire to get a revelation from Him, He will answer. A desire in our hearts is the first thing we need. And He knows exactly what is in our hearts, and He will come in. And He will give you the faith you need. But the first thing is this little flame of a faith, like a desire in your heart. The little fire He will not quench. I just want to leave you with that. Be encouraged that God will answer and give you, because He sees your heart. A true heart can be sure to meet God as a giver. A giver. I feel that this is enough to bring before you. I hope these passages can stay a little bit longer in all our hearts and minds, that God is a giver who gave his Son. Jesus who gave himself. Jesus who gives life eternal. Jesus who gives peace. And the Father who gives wisdom. What a wonderful giver God we have. A God who revealed himself in that way. May he receive praise and honor and worship forever and ever. And I'm very glad that we all together will come into this wonderful gift to praise him one day, eternally, without end, for his name's sake. Amen.